Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another weekly episode of the series Land of Light. As a reminder, it was said that Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, openly invited his kinsmen and people to follow the sacred religion of Islam. Now let's listen to the rest of the story. Walid, son of Mughirah, said,
"That day the stones hurled by Abu Lahab, Amr and others didn't make it possible for us to observe what Muhammad was saying. Now, Umayyah, do you know what is the root of his invitation?"
Umayyah, son of Khalaf, patted the idol which was there next to him while responding this question.
"He says that angels speak to him and he has been instructed to bring about a new religion. Meanwhile, a group of people have secretly joined him and observe daily prayers before God Almighty."
The angered Amr, son of Hisham, otherwise known as Abu Jahl, shook out of rage while speaking out.
"If I find out those who have joined him, I will hammer their heads. Also, if I see Muhammad coming to Kaaba and prostrating before anything other than the idol, Hubal, I will smash his head to teach a lesson to his followers."
Umayyah said,
"You are all aware that my resentment towards Muhammad is no lesser than your enmity towards him. But Amr, you know well that he has made his invitations within the past 3 years up until now, in which he openly calls on people to follow him. We fear that his measures would cause a rift and difficulties among the tribesmen. However, the right approach in dealing with him is not what you imagine."
Amr, who was clearly enraged, continued his remarks.
"So what should we do, Umayyah? Shouldn't his remarks and deeds towards us up until now have taught us a lesson? You all bear witness that when he proclaimed his prophethood, we humiliated him and ignored him, until some people joined him and followed his creed. You also witnessed his blatant remarks yesterday in which he addressed everyone and cautioned them against the raging fires of hell. Now you, as one of the leading figures of your clan, make such remarks. Don't you see that if this trend continues, everything would turn out of control and things that should not happen would transpire?"
"I believe that as long as Muhammad maintains such a unique status among his fellow tribesmen, he cannot be obstructed in this manner. You well know that his status among his fellow tribesmen is one of a kind. Up to this day, he has not committed any misdeeds. He is the one whose arbitration on the terms of placement of the black stone in its location on Kaaba was accepted by all. He's the one who settled down that major disturbance with his right thoughts and mindset. Our children like him, while the needy orphans, widows and slaves wholeheartedly support him."
"We all know what you said, but now tell us what you think we should do."
"I believe that his religion would not attract many followers among Quraysh."
Amr, son of Hisham, in his usually humiliating and stubborn tone, spoke out.
"What made you reach such a conclusion, Umayyah?"
"Because this religion is difficult to follow. Muhammad is not doing anything other than following his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Some of the members of Hashemite clan think differently about the universe and adopt a different approach in ceremonies of prayers and worship. In this regard, you remain in your comfort zone. However, they bear a number of hardships. First of all, Muhammad performs prayers 5 times a day. He also doesn't engage in usury and treats slaves as if they were his peers. Moreover, he doesn't drink wine and doesn't gamble. Also throughout Hajj, members of the Quraysh tribe and Meccans don't leave Kaaba and don't go to Arafat, Mina and other locations out of Kaaba, unlike other tribes. However, Muhammad fulfills all these tasks while others cannot accept such tough tasks in their religion. Didn't individuals like Zayd son of Amr, Waraqa son of Nawfal, Abdullah son of Jahsh, and Usman son of Huwairath make similar remarks in the past? Muhammad is also one of them. Even if for a few days some youths or needy individuals would follow him, they would soon turn their back to him and will follow the tradition of their forefathers. Also note that your enmity towards him could dishearten the Hashemite clan and cause rifts among tribal members.
Amr, son of Hisham, was just about to respond Umayyah, while all of a sudden a voice was heard from Kaaba.
Beware, people, that God Almighty is the one and only creator of the universe, and I am his messenger.
These statements were repeated three times. It was the voice of Muhammad, clear and transparent. He had stood on the stone of Ishmael toward those who were circumambulating Kaaba, reaching out for them in a loud voice. Then all of those people and those who were paying pilgrimage to idols approached Muhammad. Some of them, like Abu Jahl, were furious, while another group of people were curious and astounded. While he was approaching the Prophet once again raised his voice.
Dear tribal members, follow me, so that Arabs and non-Arabs would comply with you, and so that you would be the rulers of paradise.
An elderly man spoke out with a surprised tone.
Who is this man?
Amr, son of Hisham, said.
He is a dreamer, a man who is captivated by his dreams and fantasies.
Umayyah said.
He is the son of Abdullah. He has recently lost his mind.
Amr, son of Hisham, soon found his way through the crowd and raised his voice before Muhammad.
How dare you stir such disturbance? You claim that one god is better than 300 gods. What is the use of the god who is not seen or touched and who only speaks to you?
The Prophet softly spoke out.
If you are harmed, or if a problem occurs, or your assets are threatened, from whom would you seek assistance?
Amr didn't respond to this smart question of the Prophet. However, a youth among the crowd raised his hands and answered the Prophet.
Dear Muhammad, I would seek God's assistance.
This was certainly the case. Although the majority of them worshipped idols, they believed that idols mediated between them and the creator of the universe. Hence, Muhammad had asked that question from Amr, which he had failed to respond.
So how come, while God Almighty assists you, you consider partners for him?
At this point, Walid son of Mughaira raised his voice.
Muhammad, I am a senior figure of Mecca, and Amr, son of Umayr Saqafi, is a leading figure of people of Taif. Despite all of our wealth and assets, angels have not descended upon us. However, they have descended upon an orphan and ordinary man like you. How could this be?
Walid was a well-known elderly man in Mecca who many people referred to for arbitration. However, before the Prophet could find an opportunity to respond to Walid, an uproar and protest was heard from the crowd.
If you are true in your invitation, how come you don't walk on water, son of Abdullah?
Aren't you the same orphan who has been brought up by his uncle? Haven't you reached this status with the assistance of your wife's wealth? Now, how come you speak of heavens?
Didn't God have anyone else other than you to choose as his prophet?
The prophet wanted to respond to these allegations. However, his voice was drowning out by the uproar. Meanwhile, all of their hostile questions and objections were familiar to the prophet. These were more or less the same remarks made by the previous tribes and nations against their prophets, which were eloquently responded by God Almighty. It seemed that though the ignorant members of each tribe were more or less the same in different phases of time, they even leveled similar pretexts. So even if they were responded 1,000 times, the response was seemingly insufficient. They would not listen. They also lacked wisdom and could not make assessments or contemplate. And they also failed to learn lessons from their mistakes. Moreover, it was evident that they didn't ask questions to understand the truth or to make up for their ignorance. All of their remarks were pretexts aimed at rejection and refutation. These were those who were ignorant, yet they didn't want to learn either. They pretended to be unaware and asleep. Who could have awakened such ignorant individuals who pretended to be asleep? Prophet tried to rein in his anger. Then, as if he knew none of them, he found a way among the crowd and headed for Kaaba to circumambulate it. He continued to hear the humiliating allegations and the uproar as he found his way among the crowd. Shaibo said,
"So Walid, what happened between you and the son of Abdullah? Seemingly his remarks have also enchanted you."
Shaibo, son of Rabia, seemed to be right. It was close to the month of Hajj pilgrimage. Upon the convergence of people from different regions of Arabian Peninsula to Mecca, it was likely that Muhammad would approach them and invite them to embrace the sacred religion of Islam. It was also possible that some would follow him, given his new approach in making remarks and the unique features of Holy Quran. Hence, in order to find a way to obstruct such an effort, some gathered in a large house of Walid, son of Muqayra, who was known for his experience. They asked Walid to approach Muhammad and to listen to what he had to say, in order to realize what could be said about Muhammad's remarks. Walid had done so, but it was highly clear that he was not the same person after listening to Muhammad's remarks. Dear listeners, many thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you and goodbye.